Hello and welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Hiya! Sanu, welcome. This is the Wanderlust Wonder segment of the See the World with Ajala Nene. And this is the section we spotlight tourist destinations in Nigeria and Africa. Our spotlight for today is Chukuru Cultural Landscape. Located on a high hill of the Mandara Mountains, bordering Cameroon and Nigeria in Adamawa State, the Chukuru Cultural Landscape is Africa's first cultural landscape to receive World Heritage List inscription. You heard me right. This UNESCO World Heritage Site has features such as the Palace of the Hindi, that is Chief, which is on a hill dominating the villages below, the Terence Fields, their sacred symbols, and the extensive remains of a former flourishing iron industry. Are you a curious historian who's looking to explore an historical site that has its intact physical expression of a society and its spiritual and material culture? The Chukuru Cultural Landscape is your destination. All right, we have our guest for today waiting for us. Come join us. Segment with our guest today, and I know I keep saying this, but I have special people in this tourism space. And this person is dear to me because when I first started in tourism space, he was among the first people that took me in under his wings and trained me, and is still training me and still supporting me. So please, everybody, with a loud noise, welcome Mr. Pelu Awofeso.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Welcome, sir.
Good to be here.
Ah, I said I was going to tell the story. This man is a hard person to cash. So I met him at an event yesterday, his own event, and I literally begged and said, Mr. Pelu, before you disappear, you're gone for another 6 months. I beg, come. Let us interview you today. And I'm honored to have you here today, sir. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for inviting me. And I think it also speaks to your personality, your persona, and your own personal qualities that you can talk to someone like myself, and I will change my plans to come here.
I'm feeling so, I'm blushing.
Keep doing what you've been doing. Thank I know you. You're not going to change, but thank it's you. Good. It's good for you. It's good for what you represent.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. Yes. Thanks for sharing it with our audience today. It's
they
really
need to
heartwarming.
Know that you're a special person.
Oh my gosh. It's really so good.
And I'm not saying that because it's...
All right, before we get into this, let me read a bit of his bio to let you know why he's a big fish to catch. Mr. Pelu Awofeso, founder and CEO of Travel Next Door Africa, is one of the leading names in Nigeria and Africa's domestic tourism space. His contributions to and influence in the industry cuts across journalism. He's a travel journalist. Publishing. Guys, those of you watching YouTube, see the books. I have four of his books. I own four of his books. We'll go into that one very soon. And cultural consultancy. He's also the founder of Travu, a travel magazine that showcases tourist gems in Nigeria. Pelu won the CNN / Multi-Choice African Journalist Award in Tourism Reporting. You see why he's a big fish? He was awarded the Best Tour Guide in Nigeria in 2017 and the Best Travel Journalist in Nigeria in 2019 by the Nigeria Tourism Awards. He's also a regular contributor to Lonely Planet. We all know Lonely Planet, right? He's one of their contributors, and he has written some really nice articles with them concerning Nigeria. That's the world's biggest publishers of travel guides. guys, I can continue, but we'll not leave here because his bio is really rich. So let me go straight to the interview.
Nice. Thank you.
Ogakpelu, that's how many call you, sir. How did you get here? Why the tourism space? What's led to this journey that you're in right now?
Interesting question, and there's always been just one answer. Mm-hmm. It all began in Jos.
Beautiful.
You haven't been.
I haven't. That all is, my family members, my mommy has been there, my husband has been there, my bestie has been there.
Then you should go.
Everybody keeps talking about how beautiful that place is.
It's a city that it's a city that every Nigerian should visit. It's just unfortunate that every once in a while we hear violence and this in the outskirts.
Yeah.
But Jos itself, the capital of Plateau, it's a fantastic place to stay, to spend a couple of days in. You know, nobody needs to tell you. You don't need any guy to tell you that. You just get in there and you see. This is purely natural beauty with some of the best human beings you'll find. Mm. Everything is slow and steady. And so that was just me. I was there as a core member. Like I said, nobody needs to tell you. You will see it by yourself. Yeah. I got into camp and I was surrounded by all this beautiful landscape, you know, and I'm like, wow. The only way I can actually talk about this, I can share, is to start writing about it. Mm. At that time, I'm talking of, there was no social media, there was no smartphone. We could only write longhand and send stories to the newspapers. And so after my NYSC, I began writing like a freelance writer, and I would send articles to different papers just to celebrate the city of Jos.
Wow.
And from being in Jos, I began to travel to the different local governments in Plateau State, because I became very interested in the state itself and the people. So I began to build a number of articles on the city.
How long were you there, sir?
I was there for 2 years plus.
That's after NYSC or before NYC?
My NYSC 1 year, and then after NYSC 1 year plus. And I actually had to leave because I got a job in Lagos,
which
was better for me. I would have stayed. I actually wanted to be there and settle in Jos.
Wow.
And be known as a resident of that city. Yeah, Jos man. Yeah, it was that beautiful. It was that. It kind of matched with my own idea of a place to live in.
Mm. Would you like to retire there, sir?
Well, not quite, but it's a place I still continue to go to. There's no year that I don't go to Jos. It is that special to me. I was there last year. I was there 2 years ago.
Oh yes, I saw the last year with the strawberries. By the way, guys, he's owing me strawberries.
Oh yes. Yeah, but I sent you. Did I not send you one? I sent you a strawberry.
No, you never told me. You never sent me the strawberry again.
Oh, seriously?
Yes.
Don't worry, I'll arrange.
Thank God. This is recorded. So you remember?
There's two strawberry seasons. Two strawberry seasons in Jos, and I'll make sure that I target one.
I think there's so many fruit that doesn't grow around here in the southern part, it grows over there. I think it's the weather. Even now,
I think I can see some apples.
Ooh, yeah, I heard apples grow there.
Yeah,
too.
So the state is blessed with so much, and it's just unfortunate that we are not making the most of it.
Yeah.
That was the one place that people in the 80s, in the 90s, they used to grow roses in that place.
Are you serious?
And export it.
Roses?
Oh yes.
So we're exporting roses from
Nigeria.
We used
to export roses.
Wow.
From this country, and everything just went down. You know, there's so much I can even tell you. Jos is one of the best bird watching spots in Nigeria.
You see different species
of birds.
Wow.
You know, it's I could go on and on. You know, I have a special affection for that city.
Yes, I know.
You know, and so every time I talk about it, I just keep on talking on and on and on. And of course, people should know, and maybe you also don't know. So all of my articles that I wrote, you know, eventually when I was leaving, I'm like, in the nature of Nigeria, if I don't do something about these stories, it's going to disappear forever.
Yes.
It will be in some archives and nobody will be able to access them.
Yes.
So I said, the only thing that can actually show that I came to the city and I did some work here was to publish a book.
Yeah.
And so I looked at all the stories, put them together, have them in detail, and I published my first guidebook.
Okay.
And it was titled A Place Called Peace. A Visitor's Guide to Jos.
Sorry, sir, do you still have it?
It's sold out.
Okay.
It completely sold out.
I've been planning to
go back.
Okay.
Because things have changed since when it was published. Things have changed, and I'm hoping I can just have 3 months
Okay.
To stay in that city. But of course, on my previous trips that I go, I'm taking notes.
Documenting things.
I'm taking notes. So those are going to become part of me.
You already have four of your books. So I'm looking forward to having that one.
So what I'm going to do, I still have copies of the first edition.
Beautiful.
Because I chose not to let them go all together. So I'll send one copy to you.
Yay!
So you'll see what my book was like
that time. That was your first book.
My very first book.
And how many have you written now, sir?
So let me see what is on here. I know it's supposed to be five.
Yeah, so
oh, yeah,
I have,
so,
I
so just, you don't have Nigerian festivals.
I don't have Tribe of Nigerian Festival.
Yeah, that's the only one you
that's
don't
the
have.
One I have.
Yeah,
so I need to have that one too.
Yeah, so
I have to read
again. That one too sold out, you know, and I need to update.
Yeah,
White Lagos is sold out.
Ah,
so I need to update.
Guys, by the way, let me just teach you guys how I found. let me cut in. So the White Lagos is about a Eyo festival, the famous Eyo festival here in Lagos. So how did I meet Mr. Akpelu? I got this book. Social Media Week Lagos 2017. Yes. I just entered the tourism space as a businesswoman. I just started there. So we just finished a session in tourism or something. And next minute I still looked on the chairs and I saw a postcard. And those of you who know me, I'm a sucker for postcards. I was like, because I've been looking for postcards for months and I couldn't find. I went to was in the museum, I didn't see any postcards. I went to Terra Culture, the posters I saw there were not really nice. So I was really looking for postcards. Next minute, I said, who has this fine postcard? I picked some, I look around, who is sharing it? I could not see the person. I turned to the back and I saw phone number. I called number. I said, hello. I said, hello, are you still here? You don't share some postcards now in this so event. He said, oh, yes. And I said, please, I need to see you. Please, can I see you? That's how he came back. And I was just having like a foolish child in front of him. Oh, my God, postcards. I'm looking for postcards. He was looking at me like, who is this?
What's going on here?
What's going on? I was just telling him how I love postcards, how I started postcards. Like my daddy, he was just looking at me, okay. He was just like, okay. So how can we work together? He said, oh, all right. And that's how we did something for World Post Day.
World Post Day, yeah.
Yes, I think was it 2017? No, or 2018 after.
Oh, yeah,
like a year later.
A year later, yeah.
Yes.
And I think we did it twice.
We did it twice. And where I got a photo from someone who does nice photos in the north. Mm. And then Mr. Kwelu helped me to publish the postcards and we gave some to NYPOST, Nigerian Postal, and we shared it around. That was our first partnership. Then he was writing this book by then, and I knew that I had to buy this book. It's like it's a coffee book. It's the kind of book that you have to have if you're a travel lover and you like to know about culture. You have to have this book. So it's like a special book to me. If someone did take it from me yesterday, she says she wants to read it. I said, sorry, excuse me, you cannot touch my.
It's great to
this go. Is a special book. You can't touch it. And I shared her history. I said, oh, okay, sorry. So guys, he is a really good writer. And I just wanted to share that part. Go straight to Travel Next Door Africa. And if it's now an African thing.
Yeah.
I'm feeling my head is busting because I know that first it was on Nigeria. Now you're taking it to Africa. What is Travel Next Door Africa all about, sir?
Okay, so thank you. I probably just need to begin with what is Travel Next Door about? Travel Next Door itself was something I created 10 years ago. When Nigeria was celebrating the centenary, 2014. So I sat down because I worked at the centenary office as a social media manager or whatever. Okay. I was engaged to handle the social media. So I sat down January 6th, 2014, like, okay, we are marking our centenary. What should people be doing one whole year of Nigeria, of this country marking its 100 years of amalgamation? And I said, if it was somewhere else in the world, we were going to roll out a year-long calendar of maybe travel, explore.
Festivals, concerts, travels. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was like, okay, well, I've always been in travel. So let me come up with an idea that can help people explore the country. You know, so I came up with a document and I came up with the name, Travel Next Door. And my idea was...
Travel Next Door, sir?
The idea was go next door. Wherever you are in Nigeria, if you are in Lagos, go to Abeokuta. If you are in Akwa Ibom or Uyo, go to Calabar. If you are in Kaduna, go to the next state, maybe go to Nasarawa or something. So that was the idea.
Okay.
Because people always think that they need big money, plenty money to travel. And for us, it was Travel Next Door is basically to promote budget-friendly travel.
Okay. Within Nigeria.
Within Nigeria. So if you were in Lagos and you're going to Abeokuta, God knows you don't need too much money for that. Spend a day or two. The only money you probably will spend will be hotel money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but basically, with about 50,000 naira right now, mm-hmm. I'm sure you can go to Abeokuta and back.
Yeah.
Enjoy 2 days in that place. So that's the kind of thing that Travel Next Door was established to do. But what I also did was to list 100 places.
Okay.
I did some sort of polling.
Mm-hmm.
I was asking people, where would you think people should go? What do you know? So people gave me submissions. I came up with my own list, and we had 100 places
in Nigeria
that people should go, should consider traveling to in 2014. We made this public, and many people were actually interested in it.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm still going to find that list, mm-hmm. because I need to be able to say 10 years ago, this is what I was recommending.
Yeah.
This year, it's already 110 years, but the country is not making any noise about it. But I think all of those milestones matter.
Yes.
But because I've been really busy traveling, I haven't been able to come up with the list for this year. But in 2020, mm-hmm. when we were celebrating 60 years of independence,
yes,
we came up with a list.
Sure.
A list of 60 places. So if I didn't come up with one now, at least we did one 4 years ago.
4 years ago.
But we're still going to come up with something. So that's basically the story of Travel Next Door. So why is it Africa? All of the years that I've been working, I've always focused on Nigeria.
Yes, I agree.
But I began to think, we're all thinking Africa now. Pan-Africanism and all of that. I think it's a bit of a disservice to the continent for Africans to just be focused on their own country. As a way to unite the continent, mm-hmm. we need to begin to look beyond our own borders.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, I've been on assignment in West Africa.
Okay.
And exploring the West African region the way I've done,
mm-hmm.
I've seen so many things. There are so many things that Africans need. Oh my goodness, there's just way too many things.
I know that the ones that are now dear to your heart are Togo and
Yes, those two countries, they're close
to
us.
They're now dear to your heart.
So very dear. But more dearer to me than even of the two is Benin Republic.
Okay.
Very small country. They are both very small countries.
Mm-hmm. But they're doing well when it comes to tourism.
They got it right. People need to just go. So we evolved to TND Africa, just to be able to promote these different parts of West Africa to people and say, you may not have been out of Nigeria,
mm-hmm.
but Benin Republic is not too far away from you. It's just an African version of the Travel Next Door thing.
Yeah.
Leave your Nigeria, whatever, just cross over.
Just catch
it. In three, four hours, you are there.
Yeah.
And you come and see a different society, a different country, a different mindset,
a different temperament,
mm-hmm. a different culture. And just use that as a way to gauge yourself. Oh my goodness. So those two countries, now I'll make this point. I was in Wida every January 10.
Where's Wida?
Wida is in Benin Republic.
Okay.
Wida is the Benin Republic's version of Badagry.
It's a slave town.
It's a slave town.
Okay.
You enter the place, you will know this place is old and things went down in this place. Horrible things. The slavery thing. But what they've done is to say, we can't deny history. We can't say it didn't happen. It happened, and so many of the structures are still standing.
They didn't break down any.
They didn't break them down. The ones that they are breaking down, they are remodeling them, they are rebuilding them, and they are always, always, always preparing for tourism. All right? So January 10 this year was like the biggest one they've done. They've rebranded it from Voodoo Festival
Voodoo Festival
to Voodoo Days. It's been completely rebranded. So what actually touched me on 10th January was seeing the whole world. I'm talking 500 white people and several thousands of
black people, diaspora people.
We all crowded into Wida. I don't think they had enough accommodation for all of us.
We are describing it, I don't think so.
They didn't plan for that. They don't have any skyscraper in that place. They don't have anything. They only have basic accommodation. But the world of traveling does not require high rise. They don't require sky. They just want to come and experience your
culture.
Your culture, your history. And we're all there. I'm like, and you say everybody was moving freely. There was no police officer harassing anybody. Mm. There was no area boy harassing anybody. People were moving freely. They were enjoying themselves, enjoying the local music, enjoying the local food, the local drinks. We're all moving around. You need to see their own slave roots. The background is preserved. The Portuguese buildings are preserved. The torture chambers, where they brand people, you know, it's all there, and it's long. So you go on that wall, you will actually feel that the slavery thing was something.
Yeah.
So when I look at that, and I'm like, many of our ancestors passed through the Badagry side of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sure more than the people that left from Wida. But look at what other countries do it. They are maximizing, the world is flocking there. Outside of the Voodoo Festival, every day they still, people keep on going because I've been there several times. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's just like we need to now wake up and open our eyes to show people what is just like in their back door.
Yeah.
And let them see that we can go to the West, mm-hmm. go to the UAE, mm-hmm. we have the money, we can go. But It is actually quite unfortunate that we are focusing all our energies and our interests and our finances on the world that does not require our money. Mm. When our dollar that we're going to spend or the naira we're going to change to whatever can actually help our people on the West African coast.
Mm.
Because now I've always been about tourism of impact.
Yes.
Tourism has to impact the local population.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for example, if 500 Nigerians, 1,000 Nigerians will just travel across West Africa with the same money you used to travel to Europe,
mm-hmm.
believe me, you would have benefited more people. Yeah. You would have impacted many more families
mm-hmm.
than you would going all the way to the West. I'm not saying people shouldn't go. I'm just saying that people need that money. There are more poor people here than in some other parts of the world where you all go to.
Yeah.
UAE doesn't need your money. They already have enough. They're okay.
Mm-hmm.
But West Africa needs it. It needs it. Africa is always begging for funding, begging for aid.
So you're saying we Africans should explore Africa.
We should.
And we should be the ones to also build and
we should raise our people from poverty. You know, there's something called community tourism. United Nations, UNESCO, UN, all of those UN, they preach it.
Yeah.
You know, community-based tourism. Let's go and travel in those places, put some money there, and let them. You'll be surprised how much 500 sefa means to some people. Just going to their small restaurant and buying meal for 500 sefa, which is like 1,000 naira our money.
Mm.
So when you also see that your money is making a difference in people's lives, I think you'll be more encouraged to say you want to travel, because we all love to see people being joyful.
To find joy in what we do for them.
Exactly.
Now, talking about this West African route, and you know we've had issues with the borders. Have you experienced anything? Have you flown or have you used Rook? I know you're all about also road travel. Have you used it? And if yes, how's the experience been for you?
So for me, all my trips have been road trips because these countries are not far anyway. The countries that I've been to are not so far away, so it's easy to just go on the road. And one of the things people should realize is this. It's just actually beautiful traveling in Benin Republic and Togo.
Why do you say that?
The roads are beautiful.
They are neat.
Everything is.
No pothole.
I'm not trying to demarket Nigeria, but I will tell you this.
Yes.
When I travel in Nigeria, I don't try to sleep on the road. But my eyes are open like this.
Wide open.
But when I'm traveling in Togo and Benin, I don't know. Some sort of peace comes over me. I'll just sleep off because I know the driver is driving carefully.
Mm-hmm.
I know there are no bumps on the road.
And the people.
And I know that everybody is just so I sleep. I'm like, wow, this kind of juju that is in my body that's making me. So you actually enjoy traveling in those countries. I can tell you, whoever, if you listen to this podcast, take my word for it. Go to Benin Republic. Go to Togo, and see a different world of travel. You will always want to go back.
So
borders, no problems.
Are you sure? Because people have been saying they have issues with the borders.
They are always, but the thing is, again, you also have to be just like, they also look at you.
Okay.
They look at you and they gauge you. They are also trained to like look at people just to study you. I've never had a single issue. Because one of the things that I, not once, one of the things I also wanted to test is to let me even see all these border problems that people are talking about. I want to see it. And I passed seamlessly. Believe I passed those borders countless times.
And you never had a problem.
Well, I wish I had my passport here. I will have shown you all the stamps that I've got on it. Nobody, they just, again, I won't say that they will always ask you for a token. They will say, oh yeah, now, stamp, go. It's something that we can't control.
Okay.
If the governments of those countries cannot tell people, don't ask
them. Not to ask
yes.
Money.
I don't want anybody to delay me or whatever. They won't because I'm a journalist. I will always show them my ID card.
Yes.
So I try to pass like a regular traveler, you know, and I talk to them politely. So when they also see that you are talking to them, when they hear the way you talk, they will say, this will not be Wala person. give us money. Just go now.
Give us money for tea.
Yeah, give us exactly. Or some say, buy me Coke or whatever. And I oblige them. It doesn't take anything from me to give them 500 sefa or 1,000 naira. Okay, I have nothing against it.
Okay.
But I've never had a single issue. I pass and do my stamping and I go. And I look forward to seeing. My next trip, I can't wait.
I know you're looking forward to going.
I want to go because I love going through the borders. I just want to go to a different country and enjoy myself.
Right.
So for the rest of the year and for many months to come, I'll be pushing West Africa travel.
And so guys, so you had his latest book. Yesterday we had an event called Puff Puff Party.
Yes.
And we ate plenty puff puff with yummy, 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 delicious zobo. So we're actually promoting his current book. One for the road, travel stories from Nigeria. So he had a lot of people contribute their stories and places they traveled in Nigeria. And I am believing that the next edition of one for the road will be for Africa, sir.
Well, no. The second one will still be about Nigeria.
Yeah.
The one for Africa will come.
Okay.
But that means because I need to find the writers.
Yes, for
across the continent. Yeah, it may take me a little more time.
Okay.
But we already.
So you start with West Africa first.
Definitely. It's going to be West Africa.
The second one is Nigeria again.
Yeah, the second one. And then maybe the third one will be West Africa. But then I'll have actually explored extensively.
Yes.
I'll have made contacts.
Yeah.
Already I'm talking to one or two people.
Beautiful.
So we need to do
this.
I think
I need to be in the next edition. I'm thinking about it. I'm not done road trip yet. So.
But you should.
I know.
You have some. Carry Aisha and some people. You guys go on the road trip.
Uh-huh. Already will do that.
You do that.
So we're going straight to your book, sir. Travel Magazine.
Okay.
All right, sir. So I know the story of Travel, but I want you to share it with our audience. How did Travel Magazine come up?
Travel is a baby of the pandemic.
Yeah, our pandemic baby.
So I'm happy.
Was this part of the book that came out of it?
I think that also came out.
Yes.
This came after the pandemic.
90 degrees north.
9 degrees.
9 degrees north came
after travel.
Travel.
Yeah, okay. 9 degrees north actually came, 2022.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes. 2020.
It's actually 2020.
Yeah, it was a pandemic baby.
So it was also a pandemic baby. So the travel came and this one came.
So I remember I was promoting both almost the same time.
So because Travel Magazine, we didn't have to print it.
Yes, it was a.
It was just me like, okay, we are sitting at home, we are not going anywhere. People were having several meetings in the industry, virtual meetings. Everybody was coming up with a lot of ideas that once we finish, once the pandemic restrictions are over, what are we going to do? We're going to launch into promoting domestic travel. And so while all of that was going on, I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is a time for me to put another thing together to promote domestic tourism so that people can have something to read when we start moving. And so we decided to, like I would always do, I want people to share, colleagues in the industry who have also traveled as I have. I always want them to
share their stories,
share their experiences. So
I think that's one thing I like about you. You don't do things just solo. You always try to contribute and get both the young older ones to at least contribute their travel stories in your when it comes to your publishing.
It's the best way. So you're giving people a broad spectrum of perspectives to look at. So we send out feelers. We say recommend places that you think people should visit and all. And then people poured in.
Yes.
We put them together and we gave we put the magazine together.
Yeah.
We made it available for free. Online. It's an e-magazine
and our girl Fumi years ago was one that I think wrote the forward.
Fumi wrote the blob for blob. 9 degrees
yes,
north.
Nine degrees.
Yes. Yeah, she wrote the blob for that. You see it at the back.
Yes. Yes.
That's Fumi. I think she also, I don't know whether she contributed to the travel magazine, but
so you see my mind is jumping because I knew that these two were actually
at the same time. Yeah, Fumi contributed our own thoughts
to
travel.
Too. Yes.
Yeah. But,
then I know you had I don't know if you still have it, you had a publishing company.
Mm-hmm. I still do.
Okay, what's the name?
My publishing company publishes my books. It's called Homestead Media.
Homestead Media, yes. You know, I'm my own book. It's you that's going to publish it. Right?
I'm here.
You know, the documentary I agreed I'm going
exactly.
to do.
Exactly. Just work on them.
Homestead is what you use to publish all your books.
All my books. My books, my magazines. I used to publish a magazine in the past, which was called Waka About.
Yeah,
that's how people called me Waka About. That was my original alias. So, but again, I at some point I saw that too many people were using Waka About. It got too much. I'm like, I don't have a unique identity anymore. And so Waka About is what evolved to Travel.
Okay.
So Travel is a magazine and the idea or the brand that replaced
Waka About.
What I used to do as Waka About. The only thing I didn't kill with Waka About is a YouTube channel.
Okay, you still have
I retained it because that is where I publish a lot of my videos now.
Your vlogs.
So I wanted it to be like something that reminds me of something that I
that
used to do.
To do.
So that I don't lose everything completely. I closed down the website, shut down the YouTube, the social media accounts.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember looking for it once, I couldn't find it again.
Yeah, it's a company, so much. You can always see it. You can always see what we do on YouTube.
All right, sir. So you see, I'm just trying to remember all the playlists you've done. You did Ajayi Crowder.
Too many.
So the Bishop Ajayi Crowder. Please, can you share more of that project? Because the project I know that I helped you to fund.
Oh, yes.
The one I was doing my crowdfunding thing. So can you share more about that?
I thought you would mention that you helped to crowdfund.
I remember it was a passionate project for me.
Yeah, because it came at the time when you were trying to come up with this idea of a crowdfunding space
for African tourism
because we don't have it, and then I was like, so the Bishop Crowder project is actually a documentary of me wanting to follow in the footsteps of this bishop who everybody knows, who, at least if you're a Christian, you probably will have heard his name. If you schooled in Nigeria at some point, he was in our history books. Yeah. So people have some ideas about the man. They misrepresent him in some ways. But I wanted to approach him from the angle of travel.
Okay.
Because in my research, I put a small team together and we've been reading about this man. This man traveled extensively in Nigeria. Many people don't know. They don't even know. This man traveled. There was no vehicle. There was no train. He was always traveling by water or by trekking. Maybe on horseback at some point. Mm. But all I'm saying is that there was no modern travel, modern transportation, whatever.
Yes.
He did a lot of things the hard way. He traveled in this country over and over and over in a period of 60 years. He began traveling when he was in his 20s, after he became ordained as a priest and all of that. And then he died in his 80s. For all those 60 years, he was traveling in Nigeria. And so I felt as a travel writer, let me approach his life from the angle of his travels. Where did he go? And what did he do when he was there? And that is what my documentary is about. So it's titled In the Footsteps of Bishop Crowder. We're still interviewing, we are recording. It's a long-term project.
Okay.
We raised some money, we crowdsourced, based on our, what we said initially. We're able to get some money, but the money was never enough. I've also put in my own money. So going forward, I'm putting my own money. At the end of the day, I'm going to put something together and then we'll have a public show of it. People are actually interested.
I remember it was first shown IREP
International Film Festival. So what we did was, as we were working on the documentary, the announcement for IREP
came
out. That was IREP 2021 or something.
It was after pandemic.
And so I was like, oh guys, we have done some field trips, we have done some interviews, let's put something together and submit for this film festival. And we did that, and in January, just before the deadline, January 31 of that year, we sent in a 25-minute, mini documentary. Which I think was well received.
What do you mean? I think I was there. It was highly received. The clap was very, very high. Yeah, I remember very well.
Okay, nice. Yeah, you are truly there again.
No, it's okay. I've been following your journey, so you cannot.
True. I mean, you've actually, you know, close marked me, and it's actually interesting that one person knows so much about what I've done.
I said I'm a huge fan.
And I appreciate that, you know. So we've done that, and people have been asking, when is this documentary coming out? When is it coming? I said, guys, calm down.
Some people have tasted a bit of it.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
There are still some
travels we need to make. Mm. But one of the things that we are going to come up with, and I haven't said this anywhere before, we traveled and we went to his hometown. And so the next installment, most likely, mm-hmm. is going to be the one we are putting together titled Mission to Oshogun.
Okay.
Oshogun is in Oyo State, not too far from Oyo Town, in Seyin, in that area, because that's where he was born.
Okay.
That's where he was raided. That's where the family was raided, and he became a slave.
Oh, nice.
So the community and the state have been able to put
something
there. It's not remarkable anything. It's just where the parents' house used to be.
Okay.
So what used to be a community is now a field of grass.
Hmm.
Or a field of corn, just mm-hmm. plant things there.
Hmm.
It's not been properly maintained. It's supposed to be a historical place.
Yeah.
But so that's one of the things I want to highlight with Mission to Oshogun.
Okay.
You know, just to show people that we've been to his hometown. So if you saw the first installment at the IREP.
Yes.
This is the second one that shows us going to his town and talking to the elders of the town who also remember. You know, the story of Crowder and his parents, and they took us there. This is where they lived.
Yeah.
This is where the war broke out. This is a tree. This is a Iroko tree that they tied into.
These are the things we should be documenting.
Yeah. But so we'll do the one we can do. Hopefully more people will get on the road and on the field. Plenty of stories to be documented.
Yeah.
There's more than enough stories that Nigerians need to know. Things happened in the past.
And we need to know.
We need to know them.
Because they will help us now and for the future.
Exactly. Because just yesterday, I was just reading WhatsApp, I was reading Twitter, and somebody posted something that happened in the Abacha years. Sorry, it's not tourism,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I'm sure there are many people who are living now who didn't know that there was a time somebody led a 2 million man march to campaign that a former head of state, Abacha, should stay in power. Okay, youth earnestly asked for Abacha. So the guy showed it on Twitter. I'm like, wow, I forgot it. But
yeah,
I know.
But
I was young at the time,
then.
But I know. But I'm sure there are people who have never, ever, ever heard.
I'm still about to.
So you can tell. So imagine if somebody were to now come and do a documentary on that time in our history.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to be like, oh, wow, you mean something like this happened? So we need all of those stories. That's where the West is better than us.
Yes.
They're always documenting their lives and their society. They're always interrogating it.
Yeah.
Even if people have done the documentaries before,
mm-hmm.
somebody else will come up and say, great, let me go and do this and stuff. So that is how society should be.
In fact, I think I showed you the envelope that you used to put
the books.
This one, especially the White Lagos 2017.
Mm.
So I was showing my husband and he was like, you still have the envelope?
Yeah.
Like, yes, it's one of our relics. So when I die, I'm actually excited to do museum.
Going through they're going to show, exactly. And by so doing that, they will also come and say, who is this person?
And then they
do it. So it is the way societies should be.
Yeah.
You know, but so we have to all do what we have to do as individuals.
Yes.
And hope that our work will speak for us.
Yes, at the end of
the day. In the future, yes.
So let's go to your contributions with Lonely Planet, right? If the first day I saw the article, I was just saying, yeah, go Mr. Kwelu, go Mr. Kwelu. So how did you get that gig, and are you still working with them?
Oh man, I'm still.
Okay,
Lonely Planet is the reason I'm traveling to West Africa.
Yay, that was awesome.
Oh yes, so.
That's awesome. So how did you get that gig?
So Lonely Planet is a very closed society. It's a very closed.
Yes, I know.
You don't just get to write.
You don't know.
You don't just write for them. So for me, writing for them, it's like the highlight of a long career.
Yeah.
And I feel very happy about it.
Mm-hmm.
So they will always have what they call. They will make a call. They will always have different book projects that they want to work on.
Okay.
And so they will send out notices to their already contributing writers.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking for a writer. Okay, are you interested in writing? So, if you remember, we did a travel summit online travel.
Oh, yes.
You remember that?
Yes, I
you
was.
You remember
I
that?
Was your technical.
Exactly. There was a British guy who was our guest, my special presentation.
Yes.
So he has been writing for The Only Planet. He actually wrote some Nigerian stories. So he was the one that wrote a Nigerian guide for The Only Planet years ago.
Okay.
So he saw the notice. Paul Klammer. He saw the notice in their network.
Mm-hmm.
And said, look, I'm too much for this. I don't think I want to do this. Let me mention it to Kwelu and see whether he can do it. Again, he only mentioned it to me. It now remained for me to prove myself.
Yes.
So I saw the brief. I saw the requirements. Mm-hmm. They said, look, if you are going to write, give us this and give us that and give us that. Let's know whether you can do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And so right then, immediately he sent it to me. I didn't need to think too much. It's something I've been doing for a long time.
Yes.
And so I just sat down, typed the thing, I think about a page long,
mm-hmm.
and I sent it in. And some days later, the editor in charge of that project reached out to me by email.
Okay.
I said, well, I saw your stuff. I love it. This is good.
Let's do this.
Are you happy to write a series for Lagos? It began as a series for Lagos.
Okay.
I said, oh, you're asking me again. Bring this thing. Let's do this
thing.
Let's start it. I was excited.
Yeah.
It was a breakthrough for me that they reached out. They loved what I wrote. And they were like,
and they were paying
good.
You for it.
Oh, well, at that time, it was just like, let's engage you.
First,
let's test you. So they wanted to write a series on Lagos.
Okay.
But they said, okay, even though we like your pitch, consider do these two stories
let's
first.
Let's see. Okay.
And
so they didn't pay for those first
two. They pay you. Right? They don't do like Nigerian
people. The reason why I'm mentioning that pay, so that people know that it's something with, you can actually make money as a travel writer.
Big,
you know,
good payment.
They don't think it's just writing blog or writing on magazines.
Exactly.
They're bored.
So I always tell the younger people, like, you people are playing too much. It's good to play. But all of these things that you have at your beck and call, at your fingertips, are tools to achieve things. They may have been created as a place for us to network and have fun, but people are also watching.
Yes.
People are also looking. What are you doing with it?
Mm-hmm.
And so, they commissioned me to. It's called commission. You'll be commissioned to write one or two stories. So they gave me two stories to write about Lagos. And of course, even though I've been to those places before, for originality and to write specifically for Lonely Planet, I had to get up again on the road and start traveling around Lagos. Good, it was Lagos.
Okay.
Went to Abadogri, went to everywhere, and I wrote the two stories. And they liked it.
It was beautiful.
And so I wrote seven more.
Okay, beautiful.
So my first work with Lonely Planet was a series on Lagos, and then my second engagement was a series on Nigeria, which was why I was traveling a lot last year.
Okay.
And then my current one is me writing on some West African countries. On Lonely Planet. So it's the best place to work as a travel writer.
You don't have to tell me, I know.
You know,
it's not big, it's not a small fix.
And it's good that Nigerians don't really know what I'm doing now. The world is feeling what I'm doing, but Nigerians are not there yet.
We will get there.
At some point they will know. And all the stories are online anyway, so you can always Google my name and Google Pedro Aofe, so you'll see all the stories that I've written, celebrating and promoting our dear country, because there's a lot here.
Oh, there is. Every state. I did my final year project on tourism development in Nigeria. And when I was doing my project, I was like, every state has a tourist site. Not just one, not two. More than three. I said, what are we doing about it? That's how I got into this industry. So, as we wrap up, I just want to go personal now. What are three things people know about you? Three.
Okay. I'm left-handed.
Wow.
Or I'm ambidextrous, which means I can use both hands.
Okay.
It depends on the situation and the circumstance. I will just decide what goes. Automatically, I know what I need to do.
Okay.
So, for example, when I'm eating swallow, automatically it's my right hand.
Okay.
When I'm taking cutlery or using cutlery, it's the left hand. And that's it. Secondly, I used to be a footballer.
Wow.
You know, I played the wing, number 11, as a left-legged person. So, 11 is left. 7 is right.
Yes.
So I was a winger. I played inter-house sports. I played for my secondary school. I played for university.
Why didn't you take it professional?
I was afraid that somebody would break my legs.
And there was no insurance.
And no insurance. And I didn't want I didn't want to deal with that at all. So in my part 3 of university, I said, no, this is not where I'm going.
So you're the Messi and Ronaldo that never showed.
That never happened, yes. And
number 3.
The third one is I sing a lot. in the privacy of my space. You know, I'm home.
Single now.
I'm home. And funny enough, actually, one of the things I really would have loved to do is to be a DJ.
Really?
I think I'm still going to go. I actually have a DJ name somehow. I was probably still get to it and say DJ something.
Aww.
So because of that, I think I'd have this natural interest in music. So I sing and I don't know that I'm singing, but people point it out to me that probably you're always singing something.
All right. So looking towards your next album. Okay, no.
Not an album, but maybe one.
A single.
Maybe.
All right, so what advice do you have for us in the tourism space? Those who want to come in, those who are still there, and those, of course, are veterans.
My advice would be very, very simple and straightforward. If you believe in the tourism space that you're in, stay on it. Stay on your own lane.
Mm-hmm.
The industry is still very much virgin. Nigeria is still an unexplored country.
Yeah.
People don't know next to nothing about this country, and there's a lot to know. So I would say focus on your own area of passion or your niche.
Mm-hmm.
Keep digging at it. Keep digging at it until you get the gold out of the ground.
Okay.
If the gold is there,
yeah,
it is about being consistent and persistent. Mm-hmm. You get there. Mm-hmm. I think that should be enough for anybody who is in the space, young person. You know, it's not going to be a rich, quick kind of thing.
Yes.
Money, Nigeria has not developed yet to make so much money from tourism,
mm-hmm.
but
like
the potentials, the potentials are there, you know, and it's about you finding where your own strength is, and you'll be able to now make your own money over time.
Yeah.
It's not going to be immediate, but I know that there's going to be a big tourism industry in this country. I just can't say exactly when.
So we should all just position ourselves to be able to benefit.
Position
from
yourself,
it.
And yes, that's the word to benefit from it.
So that means I have to start working on that my documentary that you said I should do.
It's a must. It is a must. An absolute must. And again, all I will say to you for that is just take it piecemeal.
Okay, just know you're part of the team, so that's all.
I'm always available for
I
you.
Know.
Yeah, just take a piecemeal. Don't let it weigh you down. All my trips, I've done them piecemeal.
Yeah.
Legs, leg,
step.
First leg, second leg, third leg. You build them up like that, and it's done.
Thank you so much, Mr. Kwelo. Thanks for being
Thanks for having
here.
Me. I really enjoyed
you.
My time here. It's so beautiful to have been in this space and have this conversation.
Thank you, Sir Kwelo. I appreciate it. Thank All right, you. Everyone. Till our next edition. See you there. We conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.